This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Monday. Hopefully you are heading out to the park. I actually plan on going out there tomorrow. I like going when they got the dollar dogs. You know, I like going out there then. You can get you a quirk. Rob, you know I love the tall boy quirk. You get you a quirk. You get you a couple of hot dogs. You sit in a, oh man, I love going out there. It's great. Aren't you going out there, what, Thursday, Friday?
I'm going out there Tuesday as well. Dollar dogs, I will not be getting a jumbo quirk. I'll be getting a Space Camper IPA, something crispy.
That's the quirk's cousin.
Yeah.
That's like, the Space Camper is like the quirk's wild cousin.
Mm-hmm.
Then in Tank 7. Those are the cousins. You cool with them, but you can't be over there too long because some of their bad habits start to run off on you. That's who Tank 7 and Space Camper is in relation to Quirk. Quirk is just quiet, doesn't bother anybody, minds its own business. It's a little soft. I'll say that. Like, the older cousins kind of make fun of the Quirk because it's a little soft. But you know what? The Quirk has a good heart, though. Good kid.
What's your go-to Quirk flavor?
Either the cherry or the strawberry one.
Because when they release the Bomb Pop, which I'm hoping they do again this summer.
I'm all right.
I'm a Bomb Pop
guy. Give me the strawberry or the cherry one. I like the blueberry one, too. They got a nice assortment over there with Quirk. Now they got the iced tea version and the lemonade version. They really start to switch it up over there on Boulevard. They always keep you guessing over there.
Have you had the big, tall pineapple one? I mean, they just keep pumping out flavors.
Yeah, no, they're absolutely pumping out flavors over there. All right, there's a lot to get into. We appreciate you guys. Thanks so much for letting us be a part of your day. We're off a little bit early today. The Royals, they play a little bit different of a home schedule while the kids are still in school. What, first pitch is what, 6:30, 6:40?
6:40,
yeah,
5:30
for this one. So they're hoping that they can get you out of there by 9 o'clock, and then you can head home after watching a great day of basketball. Or baseball, excuse me. All right, we will talk about basketball coming up in just a little bit. All right, Rob, let's talk about this. Before we get to the hits, the Royals play 7 games in the next 7 days against teams that are in their division. Now, it's very, very simple to me. Very simple to me. You cannot make the playoffs in April, but you can miss the playoffs in April. And I have been following Royals baseball for long enough that I have seen a whole lot of Aprils where the Royals fell into a skid. And then you blink your eyes and you look up and they find themselves 7 games out of first place because they squandered early series. So maybe I am more heightened to it than anything, but they are now starting a pretty difficult stretch. They had an off day on April 3rd. They then played Baltimore. They made the postseason last year. They play 4 games against Minnesota, a team that's in their division. They played 3 games against Cleveland, a team that won their division last year and you've already lost a series to. You play the Yankees coming up after that. You then play the Tigers for four games after that. The Royals do not have another off day until April 21st. So that is exactly 14 days from now. There are certain pockets and sections of a baseball schedule. This is a, I don't want to say important one, noteworthy one. Again, if you go out and you go 10-4 in this stretch, that doesn't mean you're going to make the postseason. But you also want to stay afloat and you don't want to go 4-10 in this stretch. You are now 7 games under .500 and you're looking up and constantly playing from behind against Minnesota, against Detroit. A big reason on why the Tigers didn't make the postseason last year was they got off to a slow start and they spent all of September trying to catch back up. And even when they got hot, they still didn't win their division, still got to the wild card round. So I think the expectation for the Royals needs to be this week. Split the series against Minnesota. If you win the series against the Twins, great. It's a home series, and you should feel good about that. You've got Reagans, Lugo, and Waka going. So you have your top three guys going in three of these four games, and you got Michael Lorenzen today. You then have three games against Cleveland, where you have Bubic going for one of them, and then you'll get Reagans coming up again on Sunday. So you have your pitchers, you're a healthy team right now. You got 7 games against teams in the division. Split the series against the Twins. Try to steal the one on the road this weekend against Cleveland and be .500 against the Guardians in your first 6 games against them. I would say that would be a good week for the Kansas City Royals.
I think that would be a great week for the Kansas City Royals, but I think what the Royals, or Royals fans, maybe not the actual Royals, the Royals should focus on trying to win. Royals fans should have this mindset as far as a worst case scenario. Because I agree with you. You're not making the postseason on April 11th, April 12th, April 14th. They play a game on April 18th. You're not making the playoffs with those wins. They count. They go to your record, but they are not make or break games. But you're right. They can kill you. So if the worst case scenario in this stretch is you're playing the division for 7 in a row, you're then playing the Yankees, you're then back against the division for the Tigers, like, that's a difficult stretch against all playoff teams. Do you know what the worst case scenario should be? Tread water. It's 14 games in the next 14 days. They're what, 4-5 right now? If you go 7-7, 7-7, you're 11-12 and you're through the wilderness. I won't be mad at the team. You won't be mad at the team. The text line will probably be mad at the team because that's what their favorite thing is. Just as a worst case scenario, tread water. And if they have a better situation than this treading water, obviously we should all be happy about that. And maybe we can readjust expectations due to it. But tread water the next 14 games, especially with so many division games, and you feel like you're in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, I don't know if people are going to be mad at the Royals if that's what they end up doing.
It just seems like, and I apologize for interrupting, people are always looking for a reason to be down on the Royals faster than any other team in town.
Yeah, I certainly agree with you there. I think, though, and I guess to be fair, is I think the Royals usually give you reasons to be out on them. I think if they continue to tread water, they continue to hang around 500, I think the belief in the city is going to be, well, eventually they're going to get hot. And they are eventually going to get hot. Eventually, the Royals will have a 9-2 stretch where they get going a little bit. They just haven't got to that place yet. Well, how do you get there? You need Vinny to be a little bit more consistent. You need to get more from your outfield than you've gotten so far. Their offense needs to be a little bit more consistent than they've been. But I don't think that there's going to be any team in the American League Central that runs away from everybody. I mean, right now, they're a game and a half back, but you haven't played the Tigers yet. You play them coming up in a week and a half. So I know it's way too early to be looking at the standings, but if this team is 14-14 or around then, at worst, they're what, 2 games out, 3 games out? And I think you can live that, especially with how many games that they have left. I think that's all anybody is asking the Royals to do. You guys tell me if I'm wrong. 913-586-7965. I just want the Royals to continue to be in it and give themselves a chance. If you're down 2 games and you're 2 games back heading into May, that's not a big deal. You can easily make that up with how much time is. But you and I have both followed this team enough to know that you look up, they'll be 14-23 and you're 8 games back. And then you just created where now you got to play a really hot pace down the stretch in order to dig yourself out of the hole that you've been in. All right, Rob, let's get to the hits. And before we get out of here, we'll do a random lineup because you left us last week. So I would love a random lineup today.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Carrying the hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Well, the top story of the day in Kansas City is the Kansas City Royals. And let's stay glass half full. Let's keep that happy-go-lucky spirit going and talk about the Kansas City Royals, because yesterday and over the weekend, we saw what is easily the biggest surprise so far of 2025, and that is Chris Bubich, who was great in his first start against the Brewers and was great again over the weekend. He has been a bright spot so far for the Royals. Carrington, is he your biggest surprise so far in this very young season?
Yeah, I don't even really think it's that close, I guess, with him compared to anybody else if you were looking at it from a surprise standpoint. And I'm really excited to see if he can keep this thing going. I mean, his next two starts are against two playoff teams from last year. He pitches the first game on the road against the Guardians, and he pitches in Yankee Stadium against the Yankees. So Bubich has gotten off to an incredible start. I mean, he is 2-0 so far this season. He has pitched 2 2/3 innings. He has given up 8 hits, 1 earned run, has 16 strikeouts, and just 3 walks. He has an ERA of 0.71. He has been phenomenal so far this season. Now, I would say you are upping the degree of difficulty just a little bit. Now, Baltimore's a good team. They made the postseason. You're going up against the Guardians. I think the Guardians are better than Baltimore. And you're going up against the Yankees in a small ballpark. So I'm excited to see if Bubich can keep this going. But if Bubich is really good this year, it changes everything for the Royals. You feel great about their 1, 2, and 3. You feel great about Lugo, Reagans, and Michael Wacha. If you can throw Bubich into that mix where now you got 4 legitimate starters that you can throw out there, you feel great about the Royals heading into the warmer spring months.
Number 2.
Well, it's not just baseball. It's a big story in Kansas City. Carrington, if you get really quiet, you can hear Cooper Flagg and Co. choking away the game on Saturday night as they lose on Saturday to the Houston Cougars. We're not here to talk about Duke, although their loss was inexcusable. We're here to talk about the Cougars, who are the big-time bully in the Big 12 and are 40 minutes of basketball away from a national title. Carrington, is it fair now to say Houston, with Kelvin Sampson and Co., are the bully of the Big 12? And the era you and I grew up in, which is, hey, everything runs through Lawrence, is over, and everything runs through Houston, Texas.
I think that's a little bit extreme, and I'm not willing to go there because I have 30 years of data of KU in this conference to say otherwise. But I will say, though, it does feel for the first time Kansas is chasing someone. Now, I don't know what the portal is going to look like for Houston or Kansas. We're in the middle of figuring that out. But Kansas shouldn't be the highest rated team in the Big 12 coming into the season. They also shouldn't be the Big 12 favorite. That doesn't happen a whole lot in that league. I do think that Houston right now is the best team in the Big 12, and I think KU is going to be chasing them next year. So maybe we're saying the same thing, and I'm saying a little bit more of a toned down version. But as of now, I think you have to consider Houston to be the best team, the best program in the Big 12, and not just Kansas. All of the other schools are chasing them. Arizona, Iowa State, Kansas State. They're all chasing what we've seen Houston do these last 2 years since they have joined the league. If you can fade the music down for just a little bit and you can turn up the sad music. Some of you missed these earlier today, and I just want to brighten your day. It's a Monday. Maybe you had a case of the Mondays. Well, I have something that could potentially brighten your day. I went on the Duke Reddit page, and I read some of their fan post after they lost, and I saved them for this moment right here. We'll get back to the Royals. We'll get back to the Final Four coming up in just a bit, but I don't know about you guys. I would like for us to just come together and hold hands, and let's talk about Duke's sadness, because I enjoy seeing them sad. You know what? I enjoy any fan base that wins all the time that then tries to be like, oh, it's just a... No. You made the Final Four 3 years ago. You're the best program in college basketball. Don't try to talk about my pain. You're trying to... No, you want me to feel sympathy for you? I don't. In fact, I'm happy that you lost, and I want you to keep losing because I want you to know what it feels like.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Train to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me read some of these. The only time I've ever felt worse pain was when my mom died. I'm not gonna lie. This blanket sucks. Another Duke Reddit poster. It's okay to say it, guys. We're a football school now. Someone else. I'll never recover from this one. We gave away a national championship. It's unbelievable. I'm out of here for a while. I don't want to see or read or hear anything Duke-related for at least a month. Another texter. My depression is at an all-time high. I just left a Pittsburgh bar when everything went down, and now I'm wandering aimless with people yelling blank Duke at me. Amen. There's some bottom five feelings as a sports fan. Traveling to see your team loss, a bottom five feeling. Some of you know that pain. You've gone on a college road trip. You've gone to a Chiefs road game and they lose, and you're sitting there in the opposing team's jersey and you got to leave the stadium? Miserable. I remember the first Kansas game I ever went to. I went to an MUKU game. My pops got us tickets. I was so excited. It was the first time I never got to the rivalry. You guys remember this game, you longtime KU fans, longtime Mizzou fans. It was the game that Arthur Johnson got hung on the rim. Remember that one, Rob? Remember that he went up for the dunk and he just fell on his butt? I'll never forget. I was leaving the field house and the KU fans saw what hoodie I had on and they were chanting NIT on the way, following me and my pops to the car. And I made it my mission that day to give KU fans grief of how they treated me. I'd be a happier, better person if they had treated me better that day. But no, I've now made it my mission to troll you at every single turn. Back to Duke. Duke beat Houston for 39 minutes until the officiating decided to take over. Plain and simple, John Shire will never win a title. Mark it down. His inability to do the right thing during the final minutes proves he's not elite. This has to be the biggest failure ever. I can't believe it. I'm stunned. We pissed away another national title. Sad, man. I'm sorry, Duke. I'm sorry things didn't work out for you guys. I mean, I'm sorry that next year you guys have to deal with another top recruiting class, another year in which you guys will probably win the ACC, another year that you'll have a chance to win a championship. I'm sorry that you guys haven't won the title since 2015, but you guys have made the Final Four two times since then. You guys have made the Elite Eight five times since then. I'm sure basketball season will continue to keep you guys down.
No one knows pain like the Duke Blue Devils.
They don't know it. They don't know it. They don't know pain. Not like I do. I know pain.
I mean, they know it much worse than you. Have you ever had the officiating steal a game from you in the last minute? Have you ever had to walk around Pittsburgh set?
Actually, yes, I have actually. I have actually do know the officiating taking wins away from you. Missouri was going to get the biggest win in program history, and it was stolen away by a crooked official. You know the game I'm talking about. Let's move on. I don't want to talk.
You think the block was clean? The layup on the play before?
All of it was shady business, if you ask me. You know what it is? Dollar signs. BCS is what I think it was. On a very serious note, before we get out of here, I want to ask you guys what's worse. Is it worse to lose like the Chiefs, or is it worse to lose like Duke? I actually think it's worse to lose like the Chiefs. This is why. I was here. I know the excitement that you guys had. I know the excitement that I had. I was already planning for the parade. I'm already getting everything ready. For sure they were going to win. They had won, what, 27 of their last 28 games? I was certain they were winning this game. I wasn't worried about the Eagles. Neither were you worried about the Eagles. I felt great about it. Then as the game kept going on, I started to realize, oh, wait, I was wrong. I was very wrong about this. This Eagles team is actually really good. In fact, they're maybe the best team the Chiefs have ever played. Oh, wait, the Chiefs, they're about to get worked. And then for the final 25, 30, 35 minutes of the game, you sat there knowing that your team never had a chance. Never had a chance. If they played tomorrow, I don't think the Chiefs would beat them. I think they would beat the Chiefs again. Maybe worse. At least Duke had a shot. They had a shot to win. They had a chance at the end of the game. Cooper Flags got the ball on the right block turnaround. If he makes that, they win the game. You at least had, based on what his shooting percentage, you had a less than 50-50 shot of winning. And they lost. It stinks. It hurts. There's no good answer to it. But yeah, I'd much rather be Duke than be the Chiefs if I could pick between the two. At least Duke had a chance there at the end. It's frustrating, but they had a chance. The Chiefs, in hindsight, never really had a chance to win the Super Bowl, which stinks because the whole season was about them winning the Super Bowl. To find out it was all a lie, it hurt. It was crushing.
I think for the specifics of the Chiefs and the lead up, yeah, that's very sad. It hurts. But you know what? I was sitting there watching the Chiefs game, and 15 minutes of football time before Kendrick Lamar even took the stage, I had begun my coping process because I knew the game was over. I knew the season was over. I knew, okay, I had to have some time. I have like 2 hours of real time to reflect, to sit back, maybe have some more wings, some more chips and salsa, and just catch my breath for the season. If you're a Duke fan, you're experiencing all those emotions in real time, and you don't get the extra time to cope through it. You don't get the extra time to woosaw and walk out. Chiefs fans sat there and were like, hey, it was a rough go today, but fine season. Duke fans had to experience all that in a 12-minute stretch of real time. And I don't know if you've seen the video. Have you seen Cooper Flagg, sad boy, being driven away? Like, that's how Duke fans feel today. It's just,
you don't think that's how the Chiefs fans feel?
That pain is worse when it's a gut punch versus a blowout.
Chiefs fans have been walking around talking crazy to anybody for the last 3 years. We better than you. We better than you. And then they went down the block and faced a new bully. And they got beat up. It wasn't even a good fight. Hands and feet. The belt. It was one of the worst Super Bowls we've ever seen. I never seen Patrick look like that before. I don't know, man. It might be worse to lose like the Chiefs. I'm serious. It might be worse. It might be worse. Just think about it. When's the last time you sat there and watched the Chiefs and at any point in the game you felt like, hey, this is over. They don't got a chance to win. You didn't feel that for 3 years against the Chiefs. Even when you thought they were going to lose, there always was that glimmer of hope that they could win. Cooper DeJean took that hope away from you. Jalen Hurts took that hope away from you. I think it might be worse, man. I mean, neither are good, if we're being honest. All right. I appreciate you guys. We'll be back tomorrow. Check out the podcast page. We actually had the play-by-play voice on for the Northwest Arkansas Naturals. Jack Caglione is off to an incredible start in Double A. I think you guys want to hear about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive. Vern up next.